Casey Foundation.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus. For those having foot, knee, and back pain and leg pain, Happy Feet Plus offers footwear solutions fashioned to make you feel happy and is a full-service shoe store. Let me give you that again. Support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus. For those having foot, leg, knee, and back pain, Happy Feet Plus offers footwear solutions fashioned to make your feet happy and is a full-service shoe store, including a complimentary foot scan analysis at their 10 Bay Area locations. WMNF's HD3 channel, The Source, offers many quality public radio news and talk shows. Every day on The Source, we carry programs like the Ralph Nader Radio Hour, Tom Hartman, the BBC World Service, and many more. Listening is easy. Just go to WMNF.org/listen or tap The Source on the WMNF smartphone app. Do-do-do-do.
I hear talk shows where people actually talk to each other.
Welcome to WMNF Tampa.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to WMNF Tampa. You're listening to WMNF. This is community radio station, WMNF from Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session, your forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. Always remember, they are your employees. I'm John Gilmore and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. Joined in the studio this afternoon by Sam, who is going to be working on keeping us in the road and also just kind of generally looking up stuff and she's going to give me a flag if she sees something that is of interest. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, John. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's a pleasure. And we entertain all viewpoints here. Civility is required as we test the proposition that our republic will fare better if instead of screaming at each other across the street, we talk to each other over the back fence. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. Frank Knox will answer your call and get you ready to step in and take the floor. You can reach the studio at dj@wmnf.org. By email or 813-433-0885 by text. And also be sure and search for Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page so you can discuss the day's White House events there as well. We are closing in on 500 likes and 500 people following, and just for fun, we'd like to pursue that. So go on over there and follow the page, and you can take part of the discussions that happened there. It has been a very eventful weekend since we buckled up on Thursday, and today we're going to have a kind of an open mic to catch up on what you've been hearing and thinking about since then. Remember, that's by phone is 813-239-9663. Sam is going to have access to those emails, so we might actually get your email on the air here today, assuming that it is civil and relevant. The president, whose campaign and transition are under investigation to clear the obvious entanglement with Russia, is about to nominate a justice for the Supreme Court. He promised in his campaign to nominate pro-life justices to overturn Roe v. Wade. His nominee is also likely to be seated on the bench when the president's own matters reach the court. Do you think a president who's under investigation should be allowed to nominate a judge who may have to sit in judgment on matters resulting from that very investigation? And what do you think may happen to women's rights? He's also about to meet with Vladimir Putin, the guy that our intel community says directed the attack on our election in 2016. What are your thoughts about that meeting? Last Thursday, apparently, while we were on the air or just before, a man with a long simmering grudge carried out a tactical assault on a newspaper office in Annapolis. He barricaded a door to prevent escape, and he was carrying smoke grenades to obscure visibility. You heard about it. There was a mass shooting at a newspaper office. A man burst in and opened fire on journalists. When you first heard about that, What was your first reaction when you heard the bare details, the earliest reports? What did you think had happened?
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, woman. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
And we are convened for Monday. Monday's half over. It's all downhill from here. You can make it from here. You're back probably from lunch, back on the computer, back up to the tasks of the day. We invite you to participate in a conversation here, very wide-ranging, kind of open mic thing, where you get to look at what it was that you saw over the weekend. What did you pay attention to? Sean was just in and had a very, very full program about the marches around the country that, you know, I don't know, tens and hundreds of thousands of people turned out, and the original estimates were there were going to be over 700 marches. Some 3,000 plus people turned out around the Tampa Bay area. What do you think of that? We got a primary. We have a primary coming up here in August, as in next month, if I remember my months correctly. And so, you know, what do you think about voting? Are you gonna vote? Do you have you been listening to you know, to the candidates? What do you hear? So 813-239-9663, and we're gonna start off with Danny. Danny, good afternoon. You're in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor. Oh, wait a minute, Danny. Hold on.
Okay.
Try that again.
Okay. Hey, how you doing, John?
I'm doing.
All right, I think voting is a good thing. Let me echo that.
Yeah.
It's always a real good thing, especially a necessary thing.
Yeah.
A big necessary thing. Well, let's see, this is kind of an open mic.
Yeah.
Let's see what I think, what I've heard the latest here. I was just telling Frank that this morning that, as of this morning or last night, Michael Cohen had an off-camera interview with George Stephanopoulos and has said that he is ready to go ahead and cooperate with Mr. Mueller, saying that he respects the FBI, and he says that he loves this country. He says that if it comes down to his family, and he loves his family, and he even mentioned, according to the interview, even mentioned the president, and saying that he would have to have loyalty to his family, and also that. But then what happened was Michael Avenatti appeared this morning on the Hallie Jackson show, saying that, according to him, he thinks that this is just bait. He will do it, but he's baiting Trump to see if he can pay some of his bills and all that. He says he doubts that Trump doesn't even pay his own bills, let alone somebody else's bills.
I see. And so he's actually trying to get leverage up underneath the president to assist him. I was wondering when the only line that I heard from that and that I've seen quoted, and I can't quote it, but I can paraphrase it, was that he was going to put his family and his country first.
Exactly. But then Michael Avenatti also said that he said he doesn't want to cast himself as a villain, and Michael Avenatti says he is a villain, and there's no way he can get away from that. And also that if he really wants to do that, why doesn't he do it? Why does he wait? Let's do it now. Do it now. And so he's kind of like, you know, he says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Also, Michael Moore appeared on the Stephen Colbert show I think it was after your show Thursday, I'm pretty sure, mm-hmm. and said that he's got a movie coming out called 11-9.
Yeah.
That'll be coming out in August, and they show him driving up to the Mar-a-Lago complex. And they show him getting out, and they said, "Hi, how you doing?" "Well, yes, I'm Michael Moore." He said, "Well, did you talk to the president?" He says, "I did." And then all of a sudden, you see there at the end with kind of like lights from a police car.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so that's upcoming. And also, I'm just going to catch up. You said there's open mic.
Yeah, listen, this is a very wide ranging. And also, while Danny is introducing, sort of ventilating his skull about what's been going on since we buckled up last Thursday, stand by and give us a call at 813-239-9663. And by all means, take us where you saw,
Maxine Waters. Also said that she said, "Which is, do you have any fear?" She says, "I have no fear. Nothing will stop me." He thinks he can stop me. He won't. He says, "Have you been threatened?" "Yes, I've been threatened with lynching, with shooting. They said that they would shoot me." And she says, "And all I got to say is shoot straight, because there's nothing more dangerous than a wounded animal."
Yeah.
And that's exactly what she said. And she says, "Nothing will stop her." And also, let me leave you with this finally. If the Trump administration does not reunite these families with their parents, with the kids with their families, and within the time allowed, then how the right is threatening Rosenstein with a certain amount of time to get those documents, then there should be some kind of a penalty to advance to the Trump administration, since it's this administration that is separated and is the cause of this, either a fine or maybe prison time.
So if the Justice Department or a court, at any rate,
right,
has basically said, you will reunite these families of the five and unders within, what was it?
I think it would might have been, I forgot how, what exactly the days were. It might be 20 or 30.
Yeah, I think it was 20 days, and then gave the older children a little bit longer time. And you're basically saying that if they don't conform to those requirements, that there should be fines and possibly charges.
Some kind of an extreme penalty.
Well, I wonder if they don't conform with the instructions, if that could conceivably be considered contempt of court.
I would say it would be. But this guy, he seems to be a Teflon Don. Seems to get away with everything. So it's time to go and start holding him accountable, in my opinion.
Well, we have our very, very first opportunity to register ourselves as holding this administration to account.
That's
either
right.
For, whether you agree or not, is going to come up in November. Now, the reason that I keep dragging my soapbox out about August is because August is where the candidates for November get picked.
That's right.
So, what a lot of times what you end up with in these primary elections is a 16 to 20% turnout.
I know.
Which means that if there are only two candidates in the primary, that 9% of the voting population gets to choose the candidate that all of us will vote on in November.
That's about the bare facts right there, man.
Okay.
That is right on. You stated it correctly.
If you want representation, you've got to let yourself be heard.
You've got to look at Ms. Cortez. That's all you have to say.
Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah. Oh, that's another that's another little fun thing. One of Donald Trump's most adulating sycophants,
mm-hmm.
Has gone out and since Ms. Ocasio-Cortez has labeled herself a democratic socialist, is now saying that socialism is taking over the Democratic Party.
Well, okay. Here's a better. Remember the old term, the New World Order? Remember
yes, I do. I do. It used to be
low-powered AM stations.
Yeah.
We're talking about stuff like that and the council. Well, I got a friend of mine that he says that what Donald Trump is fulfilling is, quote, the New World Order.
Well, they're actually beginning to call it that, which is interesting enough. And Mitch McConnell has begun openly talking about what I believe he called unified Republican government.
That's right.
Who knows what
corruption lies underneath of the whole.
All right, Dane.
The whole.
You got
Donald
us
Trump becoming president.
You got us kicked off, my friend. Thanks for ventilating your skull this morning and this afternoon, and we'll talk again.
Thank you. You have a great fourth.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 will get you in contact with Mr. Frank Knox, who will get you ready to step into executive session this afternoon. We're kind of having an open mic, something that we don't do very often here in the session, but we are kind of open micing it because the weekend since we signed off on Buckle Up Thursday has been so very eventful, and there wasn't anything for me that just screamed at me. It was from all sides. The president's going over to consult with Vladimir Putin. Our satellite data seems to indicate that Kim Jong-un is rather hastily constructing some. It was a missile test facility, a nuclear facility. It was something that was kind of a poke in the eye to the joyous and rapturous accounts of the summit that were brought back by the Trump administration. And so there's that. We had a guy, and I was interested to know when you very first heard that someone had burst into a newspaper office and killed journalists, what did you think was going on? Who did you think that was? Who was your first thought before you knew any more facts about it? You just heard the bare report. It happened. It was a newspaper. It was journalists who were targeted. What did you think? What did you think was happening? And we're going to go and we're going to talk to Peter in Sun City. Good afternoon, Peter. How you doing?
Oh, I'm actually in Plant City. I'm good.
Oh, Plant City. They're not even close to each other.
close enough.
That's right. Anyway.
I wanted to call in. I have opinions on what's been going on in the news lately, but I did hear something that Danny said that was, I don't know. I felt like that was a little ridiculous. Donald Trump is a lot of things. He is not fulfilling the New World Order.
Okay.
Who is familiar with this topic? I can tell you the real concept is that it's kind of like a UN world government that would come in and take over national sovereignty.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, if anything, is,
Yeah, well, I think
national sovereignty and leaving these global climate accords and these economic deals, he's backing out of all of these things.
Uh-huh.
That the New World Order set up for America over the last 40 years.
So that's a very interesting take, and you've reminded me that the New World Order was supposed to be some sort of basic United Nations takeover world government.
It's a global government.
Okay,
yeah. and giving up of national sovereignty.
But yes, Donald Trump is walking away from a lot of those institutions.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the fact that he is, he appears to be vacating the American position in an alliance that has created and held world peace since World War II?
Well, here's the thing. I love it.
Oh, you're glad he's doing that?
I am for it. I am for it.
Okay.
Because
what do you think he's going to replace it with?
Let them figure it out. I'm okay with that. By them, I'm talking about Western Europe.
Okay.
That's really the alliance, the meaningful alliance, mm-hmm. that formed after World War II. I think America's been carrying the weight, an inordinate amount of weight. For too long.
We are an inordinately rich.
I feel like that we need to disengage from these countries because they really it's clear based on just
what's the benefit of what's the benefit of disengaging
or love of America that they're going to say, oh, you know, we'll give you a break on the
what's the benefit of disengaging?
Well, we don't get roped into global crises as much. We don't get brought into, you know, banks as wars. We don't get brought into these things that.
And what global crisis have we been roped into by our
Western Europe?
What global crisis have we been roped into by our NATO alliance?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I say, what global problem have crisis have we been roped into from our NATO alliance?
You're talking about specifically NATO?
Well, yeah, we can start with NATO.
Okay. Well, you know, we have all of the wars throughout the 90s in the Balkans. We have...
Should we have just ignored that?
What?
Should we have just ignored that?
I don't think we should have gone in there. No, I really don't. I don't think military action is really ever the right answer.
Okay.
Especially, you know, something as imprecise as, oh, we're going to just, you know...
How do you... how
important technology or infrastructure.
How do you handle... something like the Russians annexing part of another country and invading the surrounding territory.
Well,
that's a military action.
NATO did an awesome job of keeping the Crimean people from voting to join the Russian Republic. They did an excellent job.
Who did that?
NATO. They did a great job of keeping Crimea from being annexed and... they're doing a great job.
And so, if NATO was if NATO somehow interfered with the vote, that justifies the Russians taking military action.
I was being facetious.
Oh, okay. I just wondered because I'm
and joined the Russian Republic. I mean, they're ineffective, and that we're wasting so much money on these things, and they do nothing.
Well, here's the thing that I'm concerned about. Okay, we have a North American Treaty Organization. We have our allies in Europe, and we have had an alliance in the European theater for some 70 years or so. And during that time, and NATO specifically was created as a hedge against Russian invasion of Eastern Europe. Okay, so it and we have a Russian president who seems to have a grand vision in his mind of the resurrection of a Soviet style empire around Russia with him in the seat of power. Would you say that that's accurate?
You know, I would not claim that I could really speak to whatever Putin is trying to do. I would not put that past him.
Okay.
Is it an achievable goal? I don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the things that makes it not achievable is NATO.
Well, with or without NATO, I feel that something like that just wouldn't be possible. I really don't. There's a balance of power in the world right now, and I think really the main point of what I'm trying to say is Donald Trump is trying to maybe step back a little bit on the financial and security responsibilities that we have around the rest of the world while still maintaining that, you know, economic power that we have. It's tricky. It doesn't look good. And a lot of times we are going to walk away from things that we had made commitments to in the past. But, you know, this was what a lot of people voted for. I don't think more people are like, oh, yeah, you know, can we get some more UN regulations?
No. I was wondering, do you think that people actually voted for us leaving the European alliance and leaving NATO and walking away from the power structure that has kept peace in the world for 70 years?
Yeah, I think, you know, average people, probably not. They don't think about that kind of stuff. But I think people that are interested in geopolitics see who is in charge of these organizations and see what they're talking about doing, and we don't want a part of it.
All right, Peter, listen, thanks bringing us in from Plant City, and I appreciate you.
Is not part of the New World Order. Oh my God. Okay. He is the opposite of what they are trying to accomplish.
Okay, there you go. Thanks a lot. And listen, call back. We'll talk again.
Absolutely. You know I will.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. We are going to step away from the conversation very, very briefly, give you some information about what's happening around here, and also let you know about some of the other people who are with you in supporting your community radio station.
The WMNF Americana Fest takes place July 14th at Skipper's Smokehouse. The annual summer event is a great showcase for roots rockin' bands from the Southeast. The lineup includes the Hummingbirds, Oak Ramble, American Songbox, Matt Woods, Hangtown, Band of Sorrows, Cottondale Swamp, Joshua Riley, Hannah Harbor and the Lionhearts, and the 502s. 4 p.m. to midnight, the WMNF Americana Fest.
Support for WMNF comes from our members in the Florida League of Women Voters, offering a solar co-op for Sarasota residents within their nonprofit partner, with their nonprofit partner, Solar United Neighbors. Co-op participants will receive guidance on going solar. To learn more, the next information session is Wednesday, July 11th at 6 p.m. at the Jacaranda Library in Venice. For more information, go to solarunitedneighbors.org/Sarasota. Back to the phones, and we're going to go and talk to Teresa in St. Petersburg. Good afternoon, Teresa. You're in executive session this afternoon. What's going on?
Well, I'm going to answer your question. My first thought when I heard that that newspaper was attacked, my first thought was that it was a Trump supporter.
Uh-huh.
That was my exact same thought. I said, oh, no, here we go. And then when it came out that this guy had a grudge, I was like, oh, thank God.
Really? That, thank God it wasn't that.
I was
that.
Like, oh, thank God that's not starting yet.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm glad it was just some, well, I shouldn't say glad. That's just not the right. It's all sad that, you know, but it was just somebody that had their own grudge against the newspaper. It wasn't, you know, because of the guy in the White House and all his rhetoric about the.
Uh-huh. But when you, your very, very first,
yeah,
on the very first reaction, your very first bare bones reaction, when you just heard that it had happened, it was a guy in a newspaper office, he shot journalists, you thought of maybe
thought
it being, somebody from, somebody triggered by the rhetoric. All right.
That was my thought. And I was like, and then, after I found out it wasn't. I thought, you know, I thought, my God, what a horrible thing to think.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that your first instinct is that it's some Trump supporter.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Off the rails.
I'll tell you what. I was interested, I continue to be interested in hearing from people about that, because this president has been so very vocal. Pointing out the press at rallies and calling the press, literally calling the press the enemy of the people. And this has been going on now for, you know, the whole time he's been in office. And I just wondered when people heard about what happened, what they where their minds went as to who that might be. So that's and that was your take. And how about anything else over the weekend? Anything else stand out for you over the weekend?
Well, the thing that I want to ask people to do is to call the women of the Senate, like Susan Collins from Maine. And Lisa Murkowski, I believe she's from Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Republicans that are leaving, I think Jeff Flake and Bob Corker and some of the other ones, to ask them to not support a Supreme Court nominee that he brings up, because there's a good chance they will overturn Roe v. Wade and same-sex marriage and maybe minority rights. I don't know. They could go through the Constitution and just start, you know, appealing everything. I don't really know what they'll do. You know, we don't know what he'll do. Who knows? So I just want out to call. I called Susan Collins this morning. I'm going to call the rest of them as the day, you know, the weeks go on, to see if we can stop them from getting a nominee, because it's just not fair.
Uh-huh.
They stole President Obama's.
Yeah, Mr. McConnell is splitting hairs about there being a difference between Obama and Trump, in as much as Obama was a two-term lame duck in the last year of his presidency, and Donald Trump is in the first years of his first term, and you know, making all that. But the bottom line is that there is an election upcoming that
exactly.
is likely to have a profound effect on the makeup of. It has the potential. Let's put it this way:
it has the potential of making
a profound change in the makeup of Congress.
Yes, and if us Democrats don't get off our butts and go vote Democrat, you know, these people that do third party, yeah, I get it, but, you know, just vote Democrat, and then if they don't do what you want them to do this time around, well, then I don't know what to do. You know? I don't know.
Well, you know what?
That's the thing. If he gets to fill that fifth Supreme Court seat, I don't know what's going to happen to human rights in this country. They're already being taken away. I mean, to me, human rights is the most important issue for me. Just basic human rights for people, that they have the right to live their life without being, you know, discriminated against, and you know.
Well, the Republicans are a party that has long. Favored small government.
Really? Could have fooled me.
Well, lately, I mean, in it seems to some people a contradiction in when your small government starts telling women what they can and can't do with their bodies, what they may and must not do with their
exactly.
bodies, when the government starts telling you who you may and may not marry.
Exactly.
That's a fairly substantial sized government that arrogates them to itself the power to do such things.
And honestly, I'm 59, and I really don't need them to tell me what I can and can't do with my body. I did, as a woman, what we're supposed to do. And if something happens to me, I have a husband who can make these decisions for me. If I'm unconscious and can't make them for him, I don't need Mitch McConnell and Trump and Ryan and all those other guys in my medical room telling me what's best for me and telling my husband, well, you can't do that because I said, you know, I really don't need that. And I don't know why women out there and men aren't going, wait a minute, and she's my wife, I can make decisions, I don't need you. So there you go.
All right.
They just look at it that way. Maybe they can see a different perspective on it.
All right.
I don't know.
Thanks a lot for bringing it, Teresa. Appreciate it, and we'll talk again.
Yep, we will.
Good.
Have a good
813-239-9663. Open mic, open session. This afternoon in the session, we are going to just kind of let things free float. We've been talking about the what was your first, when you very, very first heard that there had been someone burst into a newspaper office and fired at journalists, what was your first reaction? We've also been talking about the fact that this president is poised to nominate a Supreme Court justice that is quite likely to sit on the bench when this president's own matters reach the court. And do you think that that is appropriate, or do you think it would be fitting for the Senate to delay hearings on such a nomination until after after Mueller releases his report and the findings about the 2016 election and the various entanglements around it are known? 813-239-9663 will get you into this conversation. Right now we're going to talk to Andrew in Hardy County. Good afternoon, Andrew. How you doing?
Hi, John. I'm doing okay. Real quick on the horrible event in Maryland. My first thought actually was, don't draw any conclusions.
Yeah, okay.
We don't have any information. We don't know what's going on. We've got to wait and see.
Yeah.
But in addressing what the lady just said about it, actually, there's a lot of responsibility on the right, and there's a lot of responsibility on Trump for exactly the reason that you cited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't get assassins out of a random basket. We get assassins out of an environment in which people are encouraged to commit these insane acts.
Hmm.
Right? There's a component of the population that can be moved, can be profiled, can be manipulated, and, you know, it's not impossible to know what kind of signals to put out there to give them encouragement.
Uh-huh.
And certainly our current president has done a lot of that.
Yeah, there's a whole thing we used to call dog whistles.
The lack of civility in our current discourse has a great deal to do with that man. Okay, now on to a chance to hurt your feelings.
Good luck with that. Go ahead.
No problem at all, because we're going to get around to the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And the first thing I want to ask you, because I think we're approximately the same generation, is where in our lifetime has there been a day in which our country's been at peace?
You know what? There has been, I think the last time that we were relatively at peace was during the Carter administration. I'm not sure about
that. We have not withdrawn our imperial terrorism from the world in one day of my entire lifetime, which begins in 1950.
Well, we certainly have been exerting our interests. There's no question about
whose
that.
Whose interests, John? Whose interests?
Well, that's the thing. See, when we started in 1912 with the, I believe it was the Marines who were protecting our interest in, was it Honduras or Guatemala down there?
Well, let's go back to Tripoli.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Tripoli.
Okay.
Let's go back to the latter part of the 18th century,
uh-huh.
and the fact that we had military force in the Mediterranean shortly after the American Revolution.
Yeah, I think that had a lot to do with the piracy that was going on down there. I'm not sure.
That was at least the cover story, but if you read what we did on the North African coast, it only had a limited amount to do with the Barbary pirates. It had a great deal more to do with what we so casually call the projection of American power.
Yeah. Oh, doing our best to be a projector for a long time, and I don't know.
We haven't defended anything except capitalism. We haven't defended any, and I know you like to stand up for capitalism, but, you know, here's the deal. We haven't defended anything except private interest. We haven't defended anything except privilege.
Mm.
And anybody who stands up and defends that is defending slavery, is defending racism, is defending the projection of American power, is defending the assassination of Francisco Cáceres in Honduras, and a nearly successful attempt on her daughter's life for representing indigenous peoples.
Well, let me put a little correction in your notion of me and capitalism, okay? I do see capitalism as probably the most brilliant system ever devised for encouraging innovation and entrepreneurialism.
Right up through the end of the 18th century.
And development.
Go ahead.
Capitalism is also consumptive, exploitive, and left unchecked, cannibalistic. Okay? So the way that I characterize capitalism is that it is a magnificent, fiery steed, okay, that will carry you to great distances at very fast paces. And like all such horses, it must be ridden tightly, or it will take you off into the weeds.
It's going to do that anyway.
Well, we don't know that. Our country seems to be an experiment on whether or not you can have capitalism and have it regulated in such a way that it doesn't eat itself and cause damage around it.
Okay, final point, but I didn't get your backup today. Final point. Many of the things that I've heard you describe as capitalism when you're on this particular broadcast actually can be characterized as mercantilism, colonialism, but a lot of people in the world, because we're living in a totally capitalist environment, have absolutely no ability to discriminate. So they see the economy and they see capitalism. But that simply isn't the case. Many of the positive forms of economic activity that occur on this globe not only have nothing to do with capitalism, but actually militate against capitalism.
All right.
Properly defined, you use the term cannibalism, and that's where we end up, because that's the classic final phase, and we call it fascism.
All right, Andrew, listen, thank you. Listen, I appreciate you bringing all that, and I hope that I very much look forward to further conversations in this vein.
Thank you for your time.
All right, and we'll talk again.
All right.
Bye. Sure enough. 813-239-9663. We are going to step away for a final break, and we're going to bring you some information, and then we're going to come back and we're going to finish up your Monday here on WMNF and in executive session. Get ready to hand you off to It's the Music, where Flea is going to bring you songs to sing in the event you are the victim of a shark attack. New music from Nick Lowe, St. Paul, the record company, and a new song for the 4th of July, all on It's the Music Today from 2 to 4 as we get ready and take you down to the traffic jam where Bobby Dusenberry is going to get you home for the evening. Support for WMNF comes from our members in Florida State University. The purchase of Florida State University specialty license plates helps support scholarships for deserving students at FSU. More information on FSU specialty plates can be found at fsu.edu/mytag.
Hi, this is Desiree Lynn with a WMNF community announcement. Tampa Food Not Bombs is a solidarity-based resource for the houseless community, sharing meals twice weekly in Lake's Gaslight Park downtown. Every meal we serve is a demonstration against America's massive food waste and lacking social services, while critical resources are diverted to militarism and war. We serve only vegan and vegetarian meals, and our shares take place Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. and Saturdays at 4 p.m. You can check us out online at Facebook at Tampa Food Not Bombs.
I was listening to great talk. Now I'm listening to great music.
Well, welcome to WMNF Tampa.
Soon enough. Soon enough. 813-239-9663. An open mic session today on executive session as we look at what you saw over the weekend. What got your attention? And we're going to go and we're going to talk to Mike in Tampa. Good afternoon, Mike. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
You know, I was hearing you talk to an earlier caller in which you said that for the last 60 years, NATO has kept peace. I'm not sure what you're looking at, but I don't see too much peace in the world. The United States is involved in 7 military conflicts around the world, still engaged in Afghanistan and Iraq, and
yeah, I guess it's a kind of a relative thing, and I suppose that what we're talking about in a certain kind of way is the kind of global conflict that we have that we've had a couple of times in the last couple of centuries.
You mean World War One and World War Two?
Yeah.
Well, those things were the worst end-all war, don't you remember?
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that rumor, especially about that first one.
Yeah, and the second one too, though.
Yeah, the second one. I think the first one was the war to end all wars, and then we followed it up with a war to make it safe for democracy. I'm not sure exactly, but I think that's the order those came in.
That's because the USA came to the rescue.
Yeah,
and we rescued the world and gone and stolen assets from other countries in the name of protecting our freedoms. I mean, let's be honest, the biggest terrorist organization in the world is the United States of America.
Well, I heard, I have heard people who described, you know, who in the world, see, my memory is such at this point that names completely escape me, but
Martin Luther King said that.
Described as the greatest purveyor of terror in the, good. Yeah, and, you know, let me put it this way. It's a supportable interpretation. Okay?
Well, history will bear out the truth. And, you know, even though, you know, let me educate your listening audience. History, you know what history is?
Yeah, history is the story of the past written by the winners.
It's called his story. History is his story. And, of course, the guy that gets to write that is the people that win.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, we're able to find out that they aren't necessarily telling us the truth now, are they?
Well, let's put it this way. It's fascinating to me that there are what we call versions of history.
There are versions of history, but there's only one reality.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clear that it's very clear from my experience in my lifetime, as I go along, that only one thing happened. Something happened, but it was that thing. It was only that thing that happened, and there may be a lot of different viewpoints about it and a lot of different interpretations of it. But if you get right down to reporting. What Heinlein called a fair witness, that only one thing happened.
Well, you know, maybe I can put this to your listening audience. I hear all the time that our military conflicts that we're engaged in are in our best interest.
Mm.
I'd like someone to describe to me, first, what our best interests are, and second, who determines what they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very interesting conversation.
Well, killing people in other countries who pose no threat to my freedoms or my, you know, or my rights or any of that stuff just don't seem to be in my interest.
Yeah, that was one of the fundamental tenets of the conversation that I had about after I had conclusively proven that I was not ready for prime time at the University of South Florida in 1966. And
long ago, huh?
Huh?
I said that long ago, huh?
Yeah, and my uncle was running around the country, and he was looking for people. My, you know, our uncle, the guy with the tall,
the guy with the funny hat.
Yeah, the guy with the spangled hat, always pointing at people and telling you what he wants. Yeah, that guy.
Off to Vietnam and kill people with brown skin because they're going to come over.
Well, he wanted me, and what he wanted me to do was to go across the widest ocean on the planet, and go to someone else's country and kill people there.
I understand.
And I looked at that and I went, you know, that doesn't seem right to me. But then the clincher was when I realized that those people over there in their country that I was going to go try and kill, were going to be over there doing their dead level best to kill me.
Well, they were doing their dead level best to keep you out of their country.
Exactly.
It's their country, for God's sake.
And at the time, they were showing an extremely fine prowess at that, and there were hundreds of us coming back dead.
Listen, I know I lost more friends to Vietnam and more people that came back who weren't the people who I sent.
Yeah.
And I almost had to go myself.
Yeah. Well, this is a way more personal conversation than I intended to get into this afternoon. But that was one of the, but when you say whose interests, when I got right up to the threshold of being sent over there to do that, I looked at that very question.
But why don't we ask that now? When we hear anybody from Clinton to Trump to Barack Obama tell us it's in our nation's interest, why don't we ask them, how is that in our interest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question. Like, I could... Go ahead.
Tell us what those interests are.
Yeah, I can see that negotiating some kind of peace, some kind of accord with the North Koreans is in our interest, because I think it's in our interest not to allow nuclear weapons to be detonated above our nation at any time.
Well, I don't think that was ever going to happen. You know, North Korea was afraid with good reason. And
I know they were. I agree.
Yeah. Well, what they developed the weapons for was because of the only way they thought they could protect themselves.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if this happens, it's not going to be Trump's thing. It's the South Koreans' new president that got this whole thing rolling.
Well, see, when there were two things that struck me very deeply, and one was that the North Koreans have buried their mass transit system over 100 meters in the ground, okay, because of the fear they feel about the last time they encountered the United States. And the second thing was one of their generals who came up and said, yes, we realize that we're going to be decimated, but if only 2,500 of us survive and the United States is destroyed, it will have been worth it.
Well, you know, the biggest thing that I think that everyone forgets is how we came to this conflict with North Korea and South Korea, and that's because the United States chose to back the Japanese Koreans, our enemies, to take control of the South of the Peninsula because they were afraid of the Russian and Chinese influence that would have come with North Korea, which was actually fighting for the democratization of their peninsula.
I know that after World War II there were a lot of such divisions, and that I don't think if I have looked anywhere near correctly that any of them have turned out well.
Nope, that's because we do things for political purposes, not for...
So it's like we ended up in Vietnam because we took over for the French, who were trying to reestablish their colonial rule after we beat the Japanese.
Exactly. And you know, there's a police action. I want to make this point. Now let's bring it up. We have never been in a war since World War II, because only Congress can declare war, and they have done no such thing.
I'm going to tell you something, and this is a strictly a personal viewpoint. You send people with guns against other people with guns, that's war. And I don't care what you call it.
Well, according to our Constitution, that's only a military conflict.
I know.
Only Congress gets to declare war.
Yeah, I know. So there's a wonderful distinction to be made between military conflict and war, but I'm not prepared to entertain it seriously.
Well, if you believe in our Constitution, you should.
Well, I understand that I understand your point about the Constitution and the congressional power to declare war, but I still, if Vietnam wasn't a war, if Korea wasn't a war, you know, if Afghanistan and Iraq weren't wars, you know, I believe if you ask the people who were there, the people who came back, whether or not they were there in a war, I believe most of them would say they were.
We're arguing semantics, but here's the point. Congress has abdicated their responsibilities to make these decisions and left it up to an executive branch who just thinks they can use our military as a big stick against anybody they want.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, Mike, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I got the very personal note about your people that you lost over there. I understand that. I had similar experiences.
Well, unfortunately, some of them are still alive and lost. That's the worst part of it all.
Yeah. All right, Mike, listen, thanks for calling. We will talk again. Sure enough. All right. I believe, you know, we got about 30 seconds before we're getting ready to nip off here. So I want to remind you that It's the Music is very, very next here coming up in this. And you don't want to miss this. I mean, really, songs to sing in the event that you're the victim of a shark attack. Who doesn't want to hear songs that you should sing if you're in the event you're a victim of a heart attack? New music from Nick Lowe, St. Paul, the record company, and a new song for the 4th of July, all on It's the Music today with Flea starting at 2 o'clock and going through four, and that's when Bobby Dusenberry is going to take the traffic jam and get you home. And in the meantime, we're going to invite you back to executive session tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Of course, we have no earthly idea what it is that we're going to be talking about. You will know by tomorrow afternoon. Frequently, if you go to our Facebook page, the executive session on Facebook, you'll be able to find out what it is that we are going to be discussing for the day. And for right now, we're going to sign off with a little Gorilla Radio.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.